for my things I always want to ask. And there we go.
Okay.
Okay. I don't think there's necessary to go back, but this is the finance committee meeting on April 10th. We opened at 4 p.m. with a roll call. Everybody was present. And so down to unfinished business number 5, investment update. Rhonda?
Okay. So we had went in to open the Busey Bank CD after the approval at the March board meeting. And we, after several conversations of what we had to do, we do have two other accounts there that are, that hold the money that we have for the OCLC billing grant. You know, we're the fiscal agents for the Illinois State Library. It's their money that we manage, but they're in those accounts and they're in Illinois Heartland's name. So we already have a relationship. So when we went in to open the account or open the CD with all the signers on those accounts, the banker was having issues opening it because she was selecting public, you know, entity, which we are because we have public funds. And so come to find out that in the fine print of the CD special, those funds were restricted from utilizing that special. We've never run into that before. It was in that fine print. I double checked. Unfortunately, we didn't see it and they didn't disclose that to us in the conversations. So they weren't able to open it for us that day. So we went and reviewed other options in the area, and that's what we're presenting to you today, which is the largest option, which was the largest interest option, which was GCS Credit Union at 4.5 for 13 months. Leslie, do you have anything to add for this?
Well, if depending on the outcome of this meeting, we will include it with the special board meetings packet so that we can get this moving along and completed.
So this is Kevin. I'll just say that short-term interest rates are wildly fluctuating right now. I mean, half a point or 50 basis points is, it's happening daily almost. So it doesn't surprise me. So there you go.
Okay.
So the credit union is insured. I know Illinois Funds isn't, but the credit union is. So
yes, and that is part. I mean, a credit union, we can open an account there per the Illinois Investment Act, as long as the headquarters is in Illinois and GCS is in Illinois. So they do have $250,000 through, you know, their credit union insurance. Plus, I think then they have another $250,000 option too. But that this will be covered because we'll be right under that amount once it matures.
I'd make a motion to approve putting the funds into the GCS Credit Union at 4.50% for 13 months.
Second, Kevin.
Okay, we can do a roll call vote. Stacy Carter?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Does the executive meet before the special board meeting?
No, we meet next Monday.
Okay, so this doesn't have to go through executive first?
No, I messaged Josh and asked him, and he said, it's fine, let's just move it along.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. Okay, now on to new business. Approval of the bills. Do I have a motion to approve the bills as presented?
This is Stacy. So moved.
Thank
this
you, Stacy.
I'll second.
Thank you, Ryan. Are there any questions?
I had several that were answered earlier, and I did appreciate that. I just had a couple. And I know the lawn care didn't go for bid, but I think for an eighth of an acre, that's just horribly expensive. But my other question is that, do you have rotation on the number of people you send to ALA? Because I see by the time you register, and then I know by the time you do transportation and hotel. It seems like a very expensive adventure. I'm not saying people shouldn't go. I believe in professional development, but I'm thinking it's some kind of rotating schedule that people could go. And because it just seemed like seven people was a lot of expense when people could go and bring back knowledge.
I can answer that if that's okay. Because ALA is in Chicago this summer, we're maximizing it because it's a drivable conference. You may notice from time to time when conferences are within a driving distance, like a state or two away, and it's not that far, we will take more people because the cost is the same. We can get multiple people in a staff vehicle to go. We do plan out who attends conferences when we do the budget. So that's a whole separate like subset of the budget process, is determining who goes to which conference. And it's generally based on their position description and other things that they would be doing while at the conference.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions? If not, let's have a roll call.
Okay. Stacy Carter?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Okay.
Motion carried. Thank you. All right. Next is the financial reports. And I have a motion to approve the financial reports.
This is Stacy. So moved.
Thank you, Stacy. Do I have a second?
Mrs. Ryan, I'll second.
Thank you, Ryan. Are there questions?
There wasn't too much to note. I mean, activity-wise, as far as like grant receipts or such in this batch of statements, the expenditures are still under budget in both the general and share, and shares revenues and are looking really well as far as fees and services being collected. And then the cash balance for general is estimated to last for 15 months. So we're still doing really well there. And shares is estimated to last them approximately 6.6 months. So we're also doing really well there. We are still waiting on our LSTA portion. I was told last month by Greg McCormick it'd probably be in around 30 days or so. So the next month. So I hope to see that sometime this month. That's all I have.
Okay. If nothing else, could we have a roll call, please? Mm-hmm.
Stacy Carter?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes. Okay. Motion carried. Thank you. Now for the biggie, the fiscal year 24 draft budget. Rhonda, would you maybe go through and hit this for us, please?
Sure. So we have included in the packet both the narrative that is required by the Illinois State Library in our submission of the grant application, along with the budgets themselves for each of one of our funds. So we have the system area or the general fund that includes a system area per capita grant. That's our main operating budget. Then we have our three special revenue funds, which is CMC, the cataloging maintenance center, OCLC billing grant, and the library trustee training grant. And then we have our capital funds budget, along with share, that also has broken down into two parts. One is their operating budget, and then what is their activity in their reserve funds for the fiscal year 24. You know, the narrative gives a pretty good outline of what we are including in those budget numbers for this fiscal year. We have it broken out by all the personnel and then per fund following that. I don't know if everyone's had a chance to read. Does anybody have any questions for me? Or Leslie, would you like to elaborate on some of the special things that we have highlighted in there too?
I can certainly elaborate. I'm also interested in what this is. You are the first committee that's seen this. It will go to the executive committee for their meeting next Monday. we do really appreciate the feedback that we get, because this is, again, first time out the door, basically. So can we start maybe with your questions and we'll see where that goes?
This 5% increase that you're projecting, how does that affect your scale that you have in place?
So that, I can respond to that. We learned from HR Source, the agency that helped us with that scale, that for 2022 they were recommending it was a 2.5% increase. Is that correct? There were two increases that we didn't change our scale for. So between 2022 and 2023, it was a little over 4.5% in total. So we selected 5% because we will have people that will be starting in a, people who are at the first level will be starting, will be getting paid the same amount as someone who just began in the position, like for a driver. I think he's at 1475, Rhonda, is the
like an example of a driver. Okay. So a driver currently starts at $15 an hour. So we have quite a few drivers at $15 an hour right now. So it, with this increase based on what, and this will be FY24 will be our third year by our policy that we need to review again our salary ranges. So this is the guidance they're given all library organizations. It was total of like 4.55. So we're just doing an even 4.5% over the past 2 years that we haven't increased it. And that's pretty high just because of inflation too. So like an example of driver. So if we raised 5%, they would be at 1575 for those existing drivers that are at 15, and a new hire would be more like 15.68 when at 1568 when they come in. So this would keep our, you know, existing drivers just above new hires with our salary scale. And we plan to present that salary grade update in June to be effective July 1 for the new fiscal year.
So is the time of when some of these people got anywhere from $11,000 to $20,000 raises, is that done?
Yes, we're done with those market salary adjustments. That's what you mean? You mean those?
Yeah, I mean, they were just insane raises in my personal opinion. So I'm glad to hear that they are done. My other is just a comment on, I don't understand why we continue with the life insurance for people simply because you have workman's comp if something does happen on the job. I just see that as throwing away money, but that's just my personal opinion.
That's such a common benefit. I mean, it's very rare that a company doesn't offer life insurance, even if it's 1 year salary. That's very common.
Right, but in the world of where we are tax based, it's different.
In NGO, there's a huge percentage of NGOs that are also. So yes.
I have another question back to the personnel. When you had figured a 5%, does that mean, because, you know, granted, this is my 6th year, we've been working up to getting people to have raises that are part of their review process. Does that mean it'll be like you can get up to a 5% raise this year based on if you have a good review?
Good question.
So no, we've decided we are working with Team Flex now, and we're just finishing our third quarter reviews. And so we've used that consistently, I would say, across the organization for half of a year. So we'd have discussed internally that for FY25, that's when we will implement whatever merit looks like. And I will be honest with you that there's a lot of discussion within our leadership team about whether merit is a value or not, or what kind of value merit has. So that's going to be part, because different people are motivated by different factors. So that is a discussion we will start having as soon as we are finished with the SAPG process this year, because that's a long and involved conversation, I think, that we need to have with each other. Does that answer, Stacey?
I apologize if I didn't quite get clarity on the answer. So are people, everybody going to get a 5% this year?
Or? That is what we're recommending, yes.
Okay. All right.
My next question was on the share, raising it by $50,000, and your general fund and capital are going to be in a negative, a little over $1 million negative balance, and share was going to be between the two, a negative $451,000. But I looked at the increases in share. Professional development went up $21,000. Public relations went up $4,000. Supplies and $8,000. Contractual staff, $13,200.
Some of that contractual, we had some increases because of the implementation of Aspen in there too. So there will be some contractual staff that will be in there, a consultant to help libraries bring this, become active in Aspen or make that active in their library. So they did include that. So that is part of the increase this year in share.
Then I'm seeing 50, you've got 75,000 in professional development for IHLS, and then you've got another 56,000 in professional development for share. It just seems like there could be some trimming here, because what I foresee is going to happen is it may fund the Aspen for these libraries, but then if you raise the cost for share, then these medium and little libraries, we don't help them any. I just think there needs to be, I think $350,000 in there is exorbitant. They could cut out easily, as I reviewed, easily cut out $50,000 on that. And I realize they do need some support from IHLS on that, but I just overall have almost a $1.5 million deficit overall, I think is ridiculous. And I think that we need to take a good look at how we're budgeting. And I know it was quoted from the new Secretary of State to budget actual needs. They aren't wish lists anymore. So I just think that the whole thing needs to be, cutting small places is pretty easy. So, I think as board members, we are fiscally responsible. So I just think there needs to be a little more looking and a little more cutting.
Rhonda, does share have the same situation with the reserve fund balances that we talked about this morning for
yes.
IHLS?
So share is finance, and their finance committee decided last year to keep a good number for their, and they, like I said, they have two separate budgets here, operating fund cash, which is if when we're presenting the balance sheet every month, that's their, both their committed and unrestricted funds. So they, I think, are at 6.6 months right now, which takes them into, 3.5 months into the next fiscal year. But by the time we give them their they finish this year, we give them our contribution by the end of the year, it's probably going to take them right at six. If they ended last year, like right at 6 months. So they're at the top of where their operating cash they want to keep, So instead of this would have been the next in FY24, the year that they would have looked at fees again, because they were locked in for 3 years with the last fee change. This would have been in fiscal year 24, really the year that would have been changed again, if possibly, but they let that go, a year, and are reevaluating fiscal year 25, because they know there's other areas like their cataloging and cloud library subscriptions that they're formulas for them just need to be reevaluated altogether. So as we are starting that process, which we already are, and talking to their share finance committee, that will be effective probably in fiscal year 25. So libraries aren't seeing any, they're seeing their fees stay the same unless their budget or whatever, piece of that formula changes for their library that affects their share fees. But that being said, that is where they're at with their operating cash balance. And then their share reserve, they have about 1.2 million in there, and that is for hardware replacement. And so they do have a big negative number in their share reserve budget of, you know, negative 335,000 almost, but that's because they have to purchase $400,000 worth of servers. And that's where this money that they put aside each year is built up for hardware replacement and eventual maybe Polaris, you know, platform replacement. But this is the money. That's what that money is supposed to be used for. There's only 142.5, you know, being transferred in besides their interest into that. So that's why it looks like a very large deficit in that area, because that's part of their fund balance too in that account. I did, and that's what's bad, you know, with our budgets, is because, and I know Kevin had mentioned this before, and maybe that's something we need to do with our narratives, is put like a current fund balance amount so that people realize, you know, we link our balance sheets and financial statements, but that's a little more difficult to find, but putting the actual numbers in there, you know, we have like almost 6 million in general to utilize. We have, you know, 1.2 of reserve and share. And that's what these projects are specified for, you know, and then to, you know, we're given this money to use every year. And we've been fortunate to have built up in the times of delay in payments, budget in past years and things like that. But, you know, this is what it would take for us to really operate to our, you know, what we hope to operate as, you know, optimally.
Yeah.
So that's what we budget as.
Yeah. And, like we talked about, just to expand on that a little bit, you know, when you look and you see that $1 million deficit in what we're budgeting, that, you know, really opens your eyes or whatever, it causes a little shock. But then knowing that, okay, here are the fund balances, I understand you got to balance expenses against revenue for the year, but knowing that that other is going to be covered, and being able to visualize that, makes it a lot more palatable.
Yeah. And as far as capital projects, what we're hoping for this year, since we're kind of estimating to be in the positive 300,000 when we end, we are hoping, and we've done this in the past years, it's been a while, but we, after our audit was reported and what that final number was, we moved that money over into capital projects. So that's our hope in, you know, after September is over, and the year is completed for fiscal year 23 numbers, we see what we were in, you know, the positive for the general fund, and we plan to move that over to capital to use there and add to that balance, that, you know, in the capital projects fund.
And I do realize you have reserve and it is negative balance, but the continued negative balances eat away at that reserve so quickly. And I also think you just have to, even though you do have that reserve, you've just got to watch everything as you go, so it can stay healthy, because like I said, it can eat into it very quickly.
I have a question in the general fund. The health and dental and life insurance went up like almost 33%. I don't remember that. Are we just having way more people use it? I mean, I didn't see the actual contract go up that much, the actual prices.
Let me see here real quick.
Went from 314 to 434.
Okay. Well, what we did budget for a 9% increase in the second half of the year. We are, you know, planning to have two new positions in the general fund on the last 6 months of the year. So that will be, you know, 6 months worth of health, dental, vision, life for each one of those. We also have the membership CE coordinator coming in, where last year we budgeted 6 months of the year. This is going to be a full year with them in there. So, and we have been working to move some drivers over to full-time as we lose.
Okay.
So we pick up additional health, dental, and life. Normally we end a little bit better there where we budget, because we have a lot of individuals who deny coverage when it comes down to it, but we don't know and we can't anticipate that they won't have a life-changing event, you know, so we have to budget like they all are getting life and or health, dental, vision, life.
But we are really only seeing maybe a 10 to 13% increase in the cost.
9% is what we budgeted for the second half because we're locked in. We're on a calendar year cycle with our health, dental. And last year we came out better than that, but we just don't know what, you know, that's usually the max we'll go up to before we have to put it into deductions for, you know, maybe look at that way for staff, but we never know what, you know, claims we're going to have for staff and what, how that's going to affect our rates. So.
Okay. I noticed you said there were two new people you're, are wanting to add, and that does not count the one they're going to be voting on. On the 12th?
No. So that's the CE coordinator who is in fiscal year 23's budget for the last 6 months of the year. And then we do have in there a data programmer assistant and then an analysis position for 6 months.
Right. So why, I mean, I understand the data analysis that you want to take a look at things and maybe that might help in the long run. What's the point of adding another position? It seems like we are doing a lot of adding without subtracting. So what's this, besides the data analysis, what is the point of the second person?
I can respond to that. We have talked for a couple of years, and I would like to talk about the data analyst position because that is a position that Rails actually has two individuals that work with that. And I don't know if you know, but maybe your library director was able to attend the members matter that we had in March when we had Grant Halter from Rails. He was talking about how data visualization can help you with advocacy. And there was a lot of interest in that program from members that we don't generally hear from in programs. So it was really encouraging to know that others see the value in this. And they can't, most libraries can't provide that kind of data analysis on their own. They don't have a specialist on staff. We have had this on our wish list of things we'd like to do for a long time. So the majority of that position, I mean, they may look at some things internally. We also have finance staff that do a great job of looking at our financial data and analyzing that and projecting that for us. The majority of that position will be member focused. That is my anticipation of that position. The second one is, is the IT programmer assistant. I don't know that that's the actual title. It will end up when there's a position description that's drafted and HR Source looks at that. But we have a web developer now who is working at his maximum speed. And he does quite a bit of internal programming for us. And he's the one that was behind a lot of what happened, a lot of the changes that happened with our website. He developed an iPad app that our drivers have used. It's been updated once since then. It needs another overhaul to keep up with the needs that we have from that department and gathering statistics. And there, it seems like everything that we do anymore needs a programmer. I think some, and Kevin, you can tell me if this is not the right term. One time, Brant was explaining to me that there are little packets. Is it packets of coding? Maybe I just heard that and I remembered it, but incorrectly. But like every, he's like, do you see this on the, every little thing we do needs some kind of program behind it. We would like to hire someone to work with Brant so that Brant can focus on the higher level things that he's very good at and have someone who might work at a slightly different level than that so that we can continue keeping up with the technology that we're living with.
So have you projected out on the salary and the staff as these percentages increase? I know you're at 60% staff currently, which is good, but have you projected out how much more this is going to cost us down the road if we keep adding and adding new members or new staff?
We've done some internal analysis, and we are well aware of the challenges that we will see many years down the road. We're not making this, I don't make these suggestions, or we don't make these recommendations in a vacuum. We also know that the marketplace for salaries is what it is. So we're trying to keep all of those factors in play and also looking at additional possible revenue streams. We do have a grant coordinator no, grant consultant, I'm sorry, that started working with us this year. We did get a notification of one grant award for a small project. It's a planning grant. And that person is actively looking and applying for grants outside of our normal grant streams. So we are looking at that. And we are aware that large projects like the automatic material handler, while it will save us in salaries, will be a large investment. So that's part of that calculation for that project as well, is looking at how might we be able to fund this, even partially, so that it saves on our capital. That's probably more of an answer than you wanted, but yes, we are looking at that.
No, it's fine. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Are there any other questions before I call for? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve and pass this on to executive.
This is Stacy. So moved.
Thank you, Stacy.
This is Ryan. I'll second.
Thank you, Ryan. Roll call, please.
Stacy Carter.
Yes.
Ann Chandler.
No.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Kevin Latos.
Yes.
Okay.
Motion carried. And thank you for all your time and energy and to put this all together and explain it to us. Much appreciated. Change the May meeting date.
Yes. So we have, May's going to be a very tight turnaround to get all the financials done along with the final budget, because we usually include the member comments that we have posted and replies to them too. So we were wondering if it would work with other people's schedule or this committee's schedule to change that date to the 15th, a week later than we normally have it in May at 4 o'clock still.
I thought it was that day.
I was going to say, I'm looking at my calendar and I have it on there for 15th.
Yeah, sorry. I thought it was
okay.
Fine.
Okay.
I don't have a problem changing it.
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any public comment or announcements? If not, could I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Ann.
I'll second.
Thank you, Stacy. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? You can stay on after we all. Sorry. Hey, thank you, everybody.